Melanin and Me, exploring the Black woman's experiences in Britain. Hey lovely ladies, welcome back to Melanin and Me. Before we dive into today's episode, we want to remind you how you can stay up to date with our latest content. We release episodes every other Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to Melanin and Me on your preferred podcast platform so that you don't miss out on any episodes. You can also follow our inspiring content on social media by searching melanin_and_me on Instagram, or find us on Facebook at Melanin and Me UK. If you felt empowered or motivated from any of our episodes, we love to hear it. So feel free to contact us by emailing melaninandme@yahoo.com or slide on in the DMs on our social accounts. Don't forget to share some love, drop us a review, and share with any of your fellow queens who might be uplifted by tuning into Melanin and Me. For now, enjoy today's episode. Today we have with us the wonderful Tia Antonia, who is our current Miss Leicestershire. Hey Tia, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thank you.
Good. We are so excited to have you on today, and we are looking forward to diving into, I'm saying we, like Ray's here with me, it's just me. I'm so excited to dive into today. So before we get started into the main conversation, tell us a little bit about yourself so listeners can hear a bit about what you do.
Yeah, so currently I'm waiting to start my access into engineering course so that I can go to uni next year. I want to be an electrical engineer.
Yeah,
I still do part-time dance teaching. I currently work as a bartender and a waitress at a new restaurant that's just opened in town. So I'm absolutely loving that. Obviously, as you said, I do Miss Leicestershire. I'm waiting to compete for Miss England as well, which I'm really excited for in August. And yeah, basically just been doing my charity events and working, trying to keep up with everything. But yeah.
And I think, like, I know obviously we were talking before this, but you are a woman of just so many talents. You take part in so many different things, and I'm just in awe of you and all the stuff that you do, and it's particularly all the community work and charity work. And I mean, this Miss England, it's been postponed because of COVID, right?
Yes, I have been waiting almost a year and a half to compete for the crown of Miss, for the Miss England crown, because I actually got my title of Miss Leicestershire back in April of last year. So it's been more than a year for me, and you're only meant to hold your title for a year. So it's been a bit of an extended coronation for me. But I'm still loving it though, still enjoying doing everything. And I've got loads of plans for September and the school year, academic year that's coming as well, for some movements and things that I'm a part of as well, and trying to get girls into engineering. So doing school talks about that. Obviously, being a pageant and title holder, people wouldn't exactly expect me to be like, oh yeah, I want to be an engineer. So
yes.
And like, obviously the reigning Miss England at the moment, she's a doctor, so everyone comes from different backgrounds, different professions and things like that. So it's definitely something that I want to talk to kids more about, and being Miss Leicestershire and entering in Miss England has definitely opened up a lot of opportunities for me within mm-hmm. the career that I want to go into. Mm-hmm. So it can open up opportunities for almost anyone.
And I think, like, you know, obviously I know we're both into the pageant world, although you've definitely got a lot more experience than I have. And I think, like you say, you are just breaking that stereotype of, you know, you have to be this particular, you have to look this particular way, you have to sound, feel and do this particular career path, or particular, you know, you have to be into these specific things or enjoy certain passions. And I think the fact that you love your engineering, you've got that clear passion and that drive, is just amazing. And I think the more that we can be able to have diverse people, backgrounds, career paths being reflected and represented at that level at Miss England, the more the merrier. Like, how brilliant is that?
I honestly love it so much. Like, obviously I do so much networking with people as well, like meeting other girls from different pageants mm-hmm. as well, and even connecting with girls from different pageant systems as well. As that, it kind of opens up a different kind of community. The pageant mm-hmm. community doesn't just have to be restricted to one type of competition or the competition that you enter. it opens it up to so many, and you meet so many lovely people doing networking all the time. You meet people from different walks of life, and people that have similar backgrounds to you, that have different backgrounds to you. It doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, you've all kind of got the same goal, and it's so nice to be a part of that.
100%. And I think, you know, one of the things that I know that I definitely experienced was it's a real chance to develop yourself as an individual. So it's a chance for you to be able to really tap into all of the things that, what's Tia about? Like, what does she want to like progress in? You know, if it's confidence, if it's, you know, whether it's kind of your walk or your charity work or whatever part of the pageant world. For me, it was definitely wanting to be more comfortable with like my femininity, you know, having been a sports player, yeah. Majority, you know, of my life. So I know that confidence was obviously a big one for you. So today
definitely,
we were going to obviously just have a chat about, you know, kind of your experience. I know that obviously, and it really, really saddens me, because I know, obviously, I know you and I know how incredible you are. And it's just, you know, nobody should ever have to go through any form of bullying at any point in their life, you know. So I guess from your experience, kind of, was there anything specifically that really impacted you, you know, when you were younger, and kind of how did that come about, and kind of when and how did that start?
So it was probably started around when I was about 13 years old and I was at school and things like that. When I first started secondary school, I was the only girl in my class from my primary school. Mm-hmm. And there was loads of us that actually went, and I just ended up being the only girl in that class that was from my primary school. Everyone else pretty much knew each other, and trying to fit in for me, even though as much as I'm a social butterfly now, I was quite shy and reserved back then, so it wasn't as easy for me to make friends and things like that, or mm-hmm. kind of stick to a friendship group. So it just I felt quite isolated, and I think people kind of noticed that, and that's kind of how it all started and progressed, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the thing is that transition from school, from primary to secondary anyway, is hard enough as it is, let alone if you don't have any of those friends with you, you know, and then you feel kind of as though, you know, you're in this little bubble and you're the only person feeling that way, which is never a nice feeling. And I mean, I guess from your side, is there, look, when you look back on kind of your experiences and those challenges that you had at school, is there anything that you think you would have done differently, or for somebody that maybe is experiencing that themselves, or might have, their friends might be?
I'd definitely say there is a lot that I would have done differently. Like, I've never been a weak person. I don't think anyone really is a weak person. Mm-hmm. We just kind of, it's kind of that fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. And instead of kind of standing my ground like I would now and kind of speaking up for myself, I just kind of had that response where I was like, I don't want to get into confrontation with anyone. I don't want to seem like the aggressive person in this situation. So I'm just going to take a step back and just going to kind of isolate myself more slightly, if that makes sense. Not without fully meaning to, but that I definitely think I would change my responses to things, and hope that it doesn't happen to girls that are really young and things like that, because it does affect you in a big way. And from that point on, especially when you're a teenager, it does quite a lot shape your life. You spend so much of your life at school at that age. You spend most of your life there, to be honest. Mm. You spend 5 days a week there, and you don't want to sit there and become the type of person that just thinks, I can't do this, and I don't want to be here anymore, and things like that. So it's definitely something that people need to pick up on a lot quicker. Mm. And when I got into my older years at school, and when I was in my last year especially, I started counselling girls in younger years, because my head of year actually noticed that the path that I'd gone through and the way that I'd come out of it at the other end, she was like, you'd be an excellent role model to these younger girls. So I started mentoring girls in younger years as well, and trying to help them with their bullying and what was going on social media, what was going on at home, what was going on within school. Might not have been a qualified counsellor, but to talk to someone that's around your age, it does make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
But I just think that at a younger age, girls can be a bit more, I don't want to say vicious, but just a bit more you know.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I know what you mean.
When you get older, and when you actually turn into a young woman, and when you turn into a woman, and you've kind of got your job, your experience, things like that, like all of this, it changes you as a person, and you actually start to, you get more women friends, and you start to develop more friendships and things like that, and you've actually matured in that way. But when girls are a lot younger, and when they're at their teenage years, they don't feel the need to create that secure friendship because they've got social media there.
Mm.
So it's kind of sad to see that they don't feel the need to create that stability and create that friendship group and kind of create friends for life, basically, because they're just like, I've got friends for right now, so I'm fine. I'm keeping up with the latest trends, and that's basically it.
And it's really sad because I think when you are younger, your focus is more on like the amount of people you have in your circle. It's about popularity, exactly, isn't it? Yeah. It's about, you know, I want everyone to, you know, like me or to, you know, gravitate towards me. I want to be in those big groups and invited to those things.
Yeah,
and I think actually when we become, you know, we grow into the woman that we are, like, you know, actually your circle becomes smaller and smaller. And I always remember my mum saying to me when I was younger, like, if you can count your true friends that are going to be there for you on one hand when you're an adult, like, you are lucky, you know, like, yeah. And I was like, five friends, that's it? Like, are you serious? But actually now, you know, I get it. I completely get it. And I think,
yeah,
you know, it's quality over quantity, right? And
yeah, whereas at that stage you kind of more focus on the quantity. Like, I remember our friendship, I remember one of my friendship groups falling apart one time because two of the girls posted the same pictures of posted the same pictures of those two together on social media, and one of them got more likes than the other. And that all of a sudden created a rift between our group, and then it was like everyone had to pick sides, and it was like, why? And like, thinking about it now, I'm like, why was it even like that? Like, it didn't need to be like that. And nothing needed to come from that, really. Like, what, someone got more followers than you or got more likes than you? Like, it doesn't define you as a person. All those likes on social media do not define you as a person.
100%.
No one's going to tap you in the street and be like, oh, I'm going to double tap you. I like you.
Yeah. Excuse me. You look like you've got like 1,000 followers. Now, can I come talk to you, please? Yeah. No, 100%. And I mean, sorry, we have just breezed past the fact that, again, not only did you, and obviously we're going to talk about some more amazing things you've been doing, but, you know, not only did you go through a really difficult time with the situations with bullying and stuff, but you then gave back to younger girls and then decided to apply what you'd learn. And, you know, one thing that specific that you said was around actually, you know, yes, you weren't necessarily a trained professional, but actually I think that, you know, sometimes it's more raw and some more authentic when it comes from somebody who's lived it, breathed it, and is closer to that person in the sense of closer in age. You know, you can kind of really truly tap into and allow that person to resonate with the experiences that they're going through and likewise that you did. So just kudos to you. Like, there's not many people that I think would do that.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of more the fact that obviously I've got older sisters, and obviously you've had my sister Sherilyn on here before as well.
Shout out
to Sherilyn. But when obviously she used to live in London, and like obviously she went to university in Hull and things like that, so she wasn't always home. But when she used to come home and we used to like sit down and have those talks, it was like, oh, I've got my big sister back and things like that. Just kind of to have someone there that's kind of like taking on that big sister role, whether you've actually got a sister or not, it's just nice to know that someone has been through what you've been through, they understand, and they actually want to help you. So I think that's kind of like, obviously I've always been, my mum's always said to me that I'm a nurturing person. So I think that's kind of like where I got it from. I was just kind of like, I've enjoyed speaking to my older sisters and things like that, and they've always supported me and always helped me. So I just kind of wanted to be like that big sister role to someone else as well, and show them that they're not alone in this situation.
Oh, honestly, like, just, yeah. I'm just sitting here, I'm getting goosebumps. I'm like, oh, this is just so sweet. So one of the things we picked up on was around social media. So obviously, I mean, you and I are from a slightly different generation, and obviously social media has been in, you know, definitely in my life, but I think that probably in probably your peer group, there's been so much more emphasis yeah. on the involvement it has and the how much it consumes your life. So I guess, like, what are your thoughts on just how social media can play both a positive and a negative role, and how has it impacted you, I guess?
Yeah, I think it makes me laugh because it makes me laugh because a lot of my friends call me an old soul.
Yeah.
I don't really like social media to an extent because I am, like I said before, now I'm such a social butterfly. I love going outside. I love going and speaking to people. Like, whether I'm taking my dog for a walk and just kind of stop to talk to someone else that's got a dog. Like, I just love speaking to people in person. So social media for me, I'm not always on it and I don't particularly like to use it all the time, but I kind of use it when I need to and when I have to. And obviously being with Leicestershire and things like that, obviously being in lockdown, I needed to use it a lot more to kind of get myself on that platform and kind of show people that I was still doing things and I'm still part of my community. But yeah, it's definitely played negative and positive roles in my life. Social media, especially for people around my age, I'm only 19. For people around my age, it just kind of, they pretty much live on it. And it doesn't spark that appeal to me. So everyone wants to text all the time. Everyone's got group chats and things like that. Oh my goodness, I've deleted so many group chats off my phone. It's ridiculous. I went through my Snapchat the other day and deleted 52 group chats that I've had in the last two
years. Hold on. 52? How do you know that many people?
I don't. They're all the same people. They just keep creating new chats.
No, I couldn't keep up with that.
Like, it's so frustrating. Like, I deleted 52 and I was like, why? Just why? Like, there was no need for it. But yeah, social media, it has a bit of, like, obviously bullying and things like that is a lot easier for people on social media, and it's really frustrating that that is the case. Obviously no one ever wants to be bullied, but a lot of the, when I was getting ready to leave school and things like that, a lot of the girls that I did speak to about their experiences with bullying, it was all on social media. And I actually work with a like children's charity now called Warning Zone that's in Leicester that teaches kids about safety online and how to stay safe online. So they go in and do school talks and things like that, but I mostly work in the e-safety zone and teach kids from like the ages of like 10, 11. These are the things that you need to watch out for on social media. These are the things that you need to stay away from, and like all about how social media can affect you and to not let it rule your life so much to the point where you can't interact with people in person. Because a lot of times people my age, when you try and speak to them in person now, or like new people that you meet, it just kind of, the conversation doesn't flow. It's kind of like waiting for that text message conversation, kind of like, how are you? They can reply like an hour later. They don't need to be there at that point. It's just kind of like, I need it to flow a bit better. And flow more.
Yeah, no, and 100%, like, it has an impact on ability to communicate and build genuine connections.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we just have to see people on the tube. And like, I don't know. So there's a thing, people obviously won't be able to see this because you're listening in on a podcast. But I remember when I was doing my personal training qualification, and you have to cover kind of different types of spine, different kind of variations in how your spine can curve, depending on, you know, whether you have, so like scoliosis would mean it has like a kind of S curve in it. And one of the things that they were saying is like an emerging new spine curvature is like, it's not a technical term as of yet, but text neck, where people are like, because they're spending so much time. But honestly, yeah. Look around. Swear to God, when you go around next time, just be looking and you're like, you know, like the evolution where there's like a person, they turn from ape, you turn into a person. Yeah. There's going to be like a new one like this. Everyone's like looking at the ground. Yeah. It really does blow my mind sometimes. But I think the fact that you're, again, kind of at the age that you are, picking up on these things and, you know, going and educating other young people, because I feel like there's so much volume of different platforms now. You know, you've got Instagram, you've got Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat. There's just so much out there, isn't there? And I know that obviously it's not been too long ago. It was only, you know, sort of last weekend that we had the England match. And, you know, obviously there's been so much conversation
around,
you know, all of the racial abuse that's been going on online as a result of the missed penalties. And it's just, I mean, for me personally, I've deleted all of the social media apps off my phone because I'm like, I just can't, after George Floyd, I just can't do it again, you know, not this time round. And I think it's really sad because social media can be a really positive place, you know, to share and be with your friends and pick up stuff with colleagues and family. So, Tia, given everything we've talked about with regards to social media, what would your advice be for kind of the younger generation to stay psychologically safe online?
I think it's just a matter of people knowing when to stop, when to take a step back, and when they know that they need that break. Because it's got to a point now, people have got that much and they feel like they're so deep into social media that even when things aren't going right for them and things aren't going their way, they feel the need that they need to stay there and keep talking about it and like putting that negative energy out into the world as well. Like, I believe a lot in manifestation and drawing that positivity into your life and putting positive things out into the universe. And I believe it will come back to you at some point, whether it's the way that you thought it would or in a different way. I definitely believe in manifestation and everything to do with the universe and how the energy that we put out is the energy that we get back. So I feel like people need to find that balance in their life, first of all, of when is a time to be on social media and when there's a time to stop and actually just live in the real world and be able to and pick up on their communication skills. Think about conversations that you've had with people, are like your conversational skills, are they actually getting better, are they getting worse? I feel like if people actually monitored kind of like their own behavior and seen the way, especially because we've been in lockdown for so long as well, people start to monitor their own behavior and notice the difference between things and see when it's time to step back and just take a break and things like that, it would definitely improve, and it would improve people's mental state a lot as well. Being able just to take that step back, meditate for a few minutes, do the washing up, just like be able to do something uninterrupted by your phone. And every time it pings, you don't have to be like a meerkat and shoot up and look at it and see what's happening. Like, you're not missing out on much, I promise you. Like, within that 15 minutes you've been away from your phone, you're not missing out on much. So just take that step back and just give yourself that break.
Yeah, and I think you're so right. Just taking that time for yourself to do those things and just be present. Just take the time to be in the moment, to do those things that, and they're just, sometimes it's just the most simple things which take you away from a screen. And I think, you know, Ray and I did a previous episode on managing your relationship with social media. And we kind of talked about the how people have different perceptions and being mindful of that. So particularly with lockdown, a lot of people were, you know, resulting in going on their phones or been having a lot of screen time just generally, but it's kind of questioning yourself as to why, and just being able to be self-aware that, one, being aware of how much time you're spending online, but also understanding that somebody like yourself, if you're friends with somebody who's super glued to their phone, then being respectful of the fact that you're not going to get back to their WhatsApp in 2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always away from my phone. Everyone that knows me knows that if you text me, you got to wait 2 to 5 working days for a reply, because I'm not on my phone like that. I'm definitely not on my phone like that. So sometimes it'll be like a couple of hours till I reply. Sometimes I'm on my laptop doing work, like during lockdown and things like that. I've been making my carnival costumes, decided I wanted to do a charity fashion show. So I'm not on my phone. I'll probably be listening to music or something, or like just sat here doing my own thing, like even reading a book. Like, I've read so many books during lockdown. I'm living life. I'm really loving it. I'm like, I'm sitting here reading a book. Like, how many people have actually through lockdown have actually said,
yes,
like, I've actually sat down and read a full book? Like, I got so impressed with myself. I read a 500 page book within like 2 days just because I decided to put my phone down. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just not going to touch it. I'm just going to leave it where it is and just sit and chill and relax and give my brain a break.
Exactly. No, I think, yeah, probably a lot of people said they were going to do a lot of things during lockdown. And I think there was a productive phase where I think a lot of people were, you know, baking banana bread and all that stuff. But Yeah. Oh,
definitely. Like, I'm gonna have barbecues, I'm gonna learn how to cook, like I'm gonna get the garden done and
yeah.
And it was just kind of like that productive mode literally shut down and we were like, yeah, no, I'm bored now, I need to do something else.
Yeah, I'm one of those people as well with like responding that I can't even bring myself to type, I just voice note everything. So I'm like, because then I feel like I'm kind of having more of a conversation, I'm like, I need that connection, guys. I don't want to be texting. And don't get me wrong, I like the odd gif, but that's, you know, that's as far as my like technical.
Me, it's all emojis, the odd emoji I'm fine with, but most of the time I will voice note people. They'll be like, oh, like hang on, like I'm doing this, I'll listen to it in a minute. And I'm like, why are you like texting me when you know you're busy? It doesn't make sense.
That makes like,
make sense. Like, you're texting me when you know you're busy. Like, text me when you know you're chill and you've got a minute to just kind of like listen to my voice note, and we're fine.
Nothing's gonna happen. The world is not gonna end, honestly.
Exactly. Like, people can't take a minute, and it's always like anytime I send a voice note to someone that I haven't probably spoken to in a while, they're like, oh, one sec, like I'm just at work. And I'm like, why are you on your phone at work?
Yeah, just like, don't reply. It's fine. Don't reply.
It's fine. Speak to me when you finish.
Yeah, we're still gonna be friends, hun. Don't worry. We're still gonna be friends. Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah,
so
people get a bit worried that like if they don't keep up with everything that's going on, then like they've got like the fear of missing out almost. Like a lot of my friends have to tell me everything, like Kylie Jenner having a baby. I was like, oh, I was actually pregnant. And I was like, what? People like Kanye and Kim getting divorced. I was like, when did this happen?
Yeah. Like, well,
I don't know.
It's nice to be blissfully unaware. And I think FOMO is real. Like it is so real. Yes. And I think that especially like you say, with lockdown, I think that's only been amplified further. So the fact that people are trying to stay connected and not being able to see people in person, you know, there's that need for, you know, the social interactions take place. But yeah, I think we have to be mindful that, you know, that fear of missing out, actually you create that yourself. Like nobody's actually
gonna hold you to that. Yeah, it's kind of like an anxiety you've created yourself, mm-hmm. but it doesn't need to be that way at all.
Yeah, exactly. Protect your energy, guys. Protect your energy.
Exactly.
So, Tia, we have talked about obviously the knock-on effect of kind of bullying and social media, etc. So for you, obviously, you have not only are you Miss Leicestershire, you're competing for Miss England, you've done multiple different carnival events, dance. You name it, Tia's done it. So tell me, how did you kind of grow into that confidence? Like what helped you build yourself up?
I think I just kind of started to see the light in everything.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point, obviously, when I was like going through bullying and everything, I didn't have love for myself at all. My self-esteem was really low. My confidence was really low. And it was just kind of, people could see that. And it got to a point where I was like, I was looking at myself in the mirror and I was like, I don't need to feel like this. Like, even though like obviously you can't control bullying, and when stuff like that happens, there is a point where you can be like, do you know what? I'm not going to put up with it anymore. And I'm going to do something about it. And I literally reached that point when I looked in the mirror and I was like, I don't need to feel like this. And I don't need to feel like this every day of my life. So I was like, I need to start loving myself. Mm-hmm. I need to start taking care of myself more. To be honest, the first thing I remember starting off with was doing a skincare routine. Like in the morning before school, like I used to put makeup on absolutely every day without fail, because I felt so insecure sometimes about the fact that like my eyebrows are really light, and then like obviously one of my teeth is chipped and I've got a filling in the front, and I was like, oh, I don't like the way that looks. And it's just little things like that that used to annoy me about myself, because people were putting me down. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start loving these things about myself. I might go back to hating them one day, or I might carry on loving them for the rest of my life. But I need to just start taking care of myself to the point where I actually start to love myself a lot more and realize that I need to love myself, because that will build up my self-esteem and confidence will come along with that. So I feel like that's when I kind of got to a point of like, I just need to turn my life around, to be honest. I need to change my attitude, because the more I carry on feeling like this, and the more I kind of start bringing that negative energy in, I'm going to start to believe it a lot more, and I don't need myself to go down a dark path, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So I was like, and obviously my mom gave me the book The Secret as well, and I was like, okay, I was like, let's start trying some of this. And like, if you ever read, I won't ruin it for any of you that haven't read it, but The Secret and The Power are like two of my favorite books. And then I've also been reading Vex King's book called Good Vibes, Good Life as well.
Okay.
And that has definitely been one that has changed my life. I've actually started meditating because of that book. And it honestly, I love it. 15 minutes every morning, quick meditation session. But just things like that, it was just kind of building up my self-love and self-esteem and things that come along with that. It just kind of helps you change your perspective on life, and you just start to see the light in so much more things rather than focusing on all the negative energy that's coming into your life.
Do you know what? Just everything that you've said is exactly what I feel. When you said earlier that your friends call you an old soul, like I'm feeling it. I am feeling it, because, you know, like, there are so many women who are so much further down the line who just haven't grasped that self-love and self-care. You know why? Because we are not taught it. None of us are taught how to truly take care of ourselves. And I think, you know, the fact that we're kind of, it's drilled into us from a young age that, you know, it's almost like career is the main focus, or, you know, you go to school, it's about grades. And then whether you're going to get to uni or you're going to go to college.
Definitely.
So I think the fact that, you know, you've managed to actually seek how to protect your energy, look after yourself and enjoy loving you for you, is incredible. Well done to you, first of all. And
thank you.
The meditation, I know that that's something that I applied to my life during lockdown, and it's made major improvements, because again, it's just refocusing and stopping you having to think about what's happening tomorrow, what's happening next, what's my next task, or what am I still dwelling on from yesterday or from the last communication I had.
I think it just kind of gives you that minute to kind of like have some peace and quiet. Even like sometimes like I'll meditate to like just like calming music or like ocean sounds and things like that. And it's just nice to sit back for just a few minutes and just not have to think about anything, the next task that I've got to do, anything that I've not done in the past couple of days. And it's just kind of a calm moment to yourself where you can literally just sit there and you don't have to actually think about anything. You don't need to contemplate anything. You don't need to sit there and be like, start thinking about existential crises and all this. You can literally just sit there and just be at peace with yourself. So I absolutely love meditating now.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that people have that perception of what it is, and it's very kind of, you could only do it one way. So I always say to people, try and find a way, whether it's a walking meditation, a guided, even if it's 2 minutes, it doesn't have to be like, I could not do it for like an hour. I definitely have my peak time. No.
I think 15 minutes is my max.
So Tia, obviously your self-care journey and the way that you learn to kind of self-discover yourself and be able to embrace all of your flaws and the things that actually at one point you really saw in a negative way, turning that around and making that a positive and really, you know, embracing who you are, who Tia is. What would you say to listeners who are in that place of finding that really challenging, really difficult to look in the mirror and truly love themselves? What advice would you give them?
I think the first piece of advice I'd give them would be to look at your flaws in a new light. Don't sit there, even if it's like something to do with your nose, look at it from a different angle. Like, do you know what I mean? Just to try and find something about it that doesn't make you think, oh, that's one of my flaws. Like, oh, I don't like it. Like, just try and find some form of light in it and try and find some way to love it and accept it, because that is the only way that you're going to start to see your life a lot differently, and it's going to help you so much. Like, it's helped me so much going along the way, and people that I've spoken to before about confidence and self-esteem and self-love, they always say the same thing. Start with just, even if it's just one thing, one little thing that you're like, oh, I like it better at this angle, or I just like when I look at the mirror or it looks better in photos, like just find something that you love about it, and your confidence, your self-esteem, self-love, everything will just start to naturally come along, because you'll see, start to see the beauty in things rather than seeing it as, oh, that's ugly. So that's definitely the first piece of advice I'd give someone.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the story that we tell ourselves, right? You know, we're all kind of telling ourselves our own story, you know, and what one situation is to one person is through the eyes of another is completely different. And I really like that, you know, take that one thing to start off with and maybe see that, look at it from a different perspective or a different angle. Is there anything else you'd either give to a listener who's maybe experiencing those similar feelings, or that you might give to your 15-year-old self as well, if you were thinking back a few years?
I was thinking back a few years, I'd probably say anything is actually possible.
Mm-hmm.
So me, from being the age of 13, from going where I have been to looking at where I am now, when I sit there and think about that journey, I'm like, that is absolutely insane. I used to be such a tomboy at school. Even though I was really into cars, I never thought about becoming an engineer or anything like that. Never thought I'd be able to walk down a catwalk in 6-inch heels and a long dress. So seeing where I've been and where I've come from to the person that I am now, I'd say anything is possible as long as you set yourself goals, and don't set yourself goals that you think I've got to reach this by here and don't set yourself goals to the point where it's got a complete deadline, but if you miss that deadline, you're going to be like feeling a bit down on yourself. Set yourself realistic goals, even if it's just something small, like go for a walk on Thursday, like just get yourself out of the house. Say hi to someone in the street, smile to someone in the street, make polite conversation, like just something that's going to make you feel a bit better about yourself, and something that can make someone else's day as well. Mm-hmm. You carry on doing that, eventually you'll just start to progress. Communication skills will feel a lot more easier and start to grow. And you can just naturally, you'll see yourself change as a person.
You spoke about a couple of books that you enjoyed and that have helped you on your journey. So we'll definitely make sure to put those in the footnotes. Is there anything else, whether that's charities or films, movies, any sort of resources that you would advise listeners to tune into for building confidence specifically?
Building confidence. I definitely say TED Talks are definitely good ones to listen to. Michelle Obama's book, that is absolutely amazing, especially for the powerful Black queen that she is. I absolutely love it. And like looking at all of her interviews and things like that, like I aspire to be like her, the way that she projects her confidence and the way that she is as a person. Like that's the kind of person that inspires me and I would aspire to be like. Because she comes across in a way that everyone sees her as an absolute queen and everyone admires her and loves her, and it is so amazing. So yeah, definitely her books and watch her interviews, the way that she presents herself, the way that she carries herself, and think about the people that you want to be like in life. Definitely think about who inspires you, who motivates you, the type of people, not just famous people, but the people that you have around you as well, family and friends. Take all of them into account. Like there's something about everyone in my life that I aspire to be like. I aspire to be my mum's strength. I aspire to be like my sister and her confidence as well, and my other sister and her beauty. Like there's some, try and find things around you, not just famous people, that can genuinely inspire your life in the way that you want to live, and just carry on with that.
I love that. And because not only does it give you kind of something almost like a positive, not an affirmation, but something to just aspire to be like, but it also makes you highlight and reflect on the positive attributes of the people around you. And
definitely.
We always have I'm a quotes master. I literally could live, breathe quotes. But you just reminded me of one that has always stuck with me, is be the type of person that you would like to meet. We all have that person that we're thinking, oh my gosh, like this person has such good energy. Like this is it. And the more that we can try and pick up on those things of people around us and enable them to be part of who we are, the better. So
yeah, definitely, because there's going to be people around you that you think, if they don't actually bring anything to your life, what are they in your life for? Mm-hmm. Are they there to bring you down? Are they there to help you? If they're not there for any particular reason and you can't find light in the fact that they're actually bringing something to your life, why are they there?
Yeah.
Because they're probably not doing you any good being in your life. So find the light in everyone around you and the people that you have around you and the people that you don't necessarily need, then they could probably be there for a good party and a good fun time, but if they're not there to help you progress in life and they're not there to help you further yourself in life, then there's not really much point for them being in your life.
Yeah.
I think so that's definitely
by Felicia mode.
Yeah. It's definitely a thing that people need to look at, especially with social media as well. Like, are all your followers there to like raise you up, or are they just there because they want to see what you're up to? Like, mm-hmm. if they're not doing anything. Like, there's a lot of people that sit on my show, like some of my social media pages are public because of Miss Leicestershire, so that people can see what I'm up to and what I'm doing. But there are people that will just sit there and watch my page and not interact with me at all. So when I go through like people I've not interacted with for a long time, it's like, least interactive with, I'll be like, unfollow, 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 because you're not doing anything for my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to be a bit more, I feel like people need to be a little bit more cutthroat about the way that they go about them, about their life, and be like, look, if you're not bringing anything to my life, then you just need to step aside a little bit.
Yeah. Move to the left, guys. love it. Tia, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm clearly missing Ray today because I keep using plural. Just before you shoot, can you tell listeners where they can find a little bit more about all the great stuff that you're doing and what platforms they can find you on?
Yeah, so my Facebook and Instagram, so my Facebook is just Tia Carter. My Instagram is Tia Carter _. Yeah, you can find me on both those. I'm not really on any other forms of social media because I don't use them at all. But yeah, you can definitely find me on those. And if you ever want to talk or anything like that, need a little bit of inspiration, positivity, hit me up. I'm always available.
Love that. And guys, make sure you interact. You just heard it here, guys. We don't want none of those
interact.
People.
We don't want
Yes, exactly. Tia, thank you so much. It's been amazing having you on and listening a little bit more about your story. And good luck for the Miss England final.
Thank you.
So that's a wrap on today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it and that you gained something positive from listening in. Whether that be you gained a new perspective, got some tips and tricks to motivate and inspire you, or if it just made you smile. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and leave a review so that you don't miss any upcoming episodes, and so we can bring you even more of the content that you love. Until next time, stay blessed, wear that crown with pride, and keep shining.